We end this hour with the story of an undercover operation that began as one woman's yearning to understand the human dimensions of the distorted reality behind North Korea's sealed borders. Writer Suki Kim was most interested in the people committed to the great leader in Pyongyang, not the many defectors and refugees who have told their stories of deprivation to Western journalists after their escapes. Suki Kim's book, Without You, There Is No Us, is a portrait of young men whose lives are committed to a kind of joyful enslavement as part of the elite at Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, a college funded and run by Western Christian missionaries teaching young men ages 19 and 20 destined to become the future leaders of their country. To tell this remarkable story, Suki Kim chased her own personal history into North Korea to find the lost pieces of her own family's experience of being divided by the war in the 1950s.
Whenever people talk about North Korea, Kim Jong-il stuff, nuclear stuff, all of the Korean War, forgotten war, you know, who forgot? No Koreans forgot this war. You know, my grandmother spent the remaining years of her life missing her son that she never got to see again, who's just on the other side of the border. And that you know, influenced about 10 million plus families. So I just wanted to get that feeling, you know, what is it like to miss somebody for 60 years? Someone that is your child, your, you know, your lover or your parents, and you know they're there, you just can't get to them. And it's because of this war that nobody understands, that they don't even consider a Korean War. It was a Cold War. So I think that's why I was obsessed with North Korea, that loss of home, longing for home, not able to get there.
You do something in this book that is so completely remarkable. And I mean, you're a spy. You're like three layers of spy. You're a young woman, English teacher, pretending to be an evangelist, pretending to be a North Korean kind of. How did you pull that off?
First of all, North Korea, the only way you can write about North Korea with any depth would be embedded there, because otherwise all you get is propaganda. So I had no choice but to go there undercover. And I think the reason I pulled it off is because I spent my formative years not speaking a word of English. So I know how to keep my mouth shut and just observe to every single detail, because if you don't understand the language, you have to watch people to try to understand their meaning. And I think I was very good at, in a way, blending in.
You described that you made the decision to become an English teacher at a particularly heartbreaking point in your life. It was kind of like a mess, and you decided, oh, well, I'll just parachute into Pyongyang and see if that makes it better. Did it?
You know, people actually commented on that aspect. Why is this book so personal? You know, this wasn't just a journalistic account, which I think may be disappointing to people who are looking only for that. But that was not what I was going for. I wanted to personalize North Korea. I wanted a human portrait. I didn't want statistics. I didn't want archetypes of, you know, defectors and nuclear weapons and Kim Jong-il jokes, none of that. In order to personalize North Korea, I needed for me to also be bared open, that I was also me, Suki Kim, who's so not perfect and breaking down a lot and perpetually afraid, which is how I felt there.
And the people that you met in North Korea, are they afraid?
Well, I felt they were. Mm. I can only judge that from my students that I spent so much time with in proximity since I lived with them. Ate meals with them, played basketball with them, and just watched their every move. And what I did feel was the fear, because they were always watching what they had to say. Mm. Always. There was not a moment that was free. And sometimes when those slips did occur, which they did, I mean, these were 19 and 20 young men. And the beauty about being that age is to be free, really. I mean, we're free, hopefully, at any age, but I feel that age in particular, life is at its most promising and full of infinite possibilities and free, you know, real freedom. And there wasn't any of that. And that did break my heart.
Are you still afraid for them?
I'm not afraid as a consequence of the book. I think, first of all, they're very loyal in the book. The real rebel stuff, I didn't, you know, there's nothing to point a finger there. You know, I just kind of, now the book is done, I kind of cringe at any news about North Korea because they're always negative and horrifying. And the first thing that comes to my mind is always their faces.
Hmm. What will happen to them? What will they be?
Well, they are the future leaders of North Korea. So I wish that they would become the leaders and become successful in that world. Do I want them to shake up their regime and bring freedom and all of that to their world? Honestly, no, because it would hurt them. I think that's our job outside, because we would not be sent to a gulag if we did that from the outside. But what would happen to them? I hope they just become the soldiers of the regime.
And live out their lives.
Yes, live long, long, long healthy lives is what I would wish for them.
Was there ever a moment in North Korea where you wished you could fit in? Where you wished you could just put your sense of freedom in a box somewhere and just walk like they walked and think like they think?
I mean, there were those little odd moments when I felt, you know, this is when you're there for a while, because you have no free will. You can't go anywhere you want to go. You can't really. They also, you know, I think average North Koreans and the teachers were sort of following that schedule too. You have no free time for your mind. So you just do what you're told. You know, people say things like, why couldn't you leave the school ground? You know you can't. Because where would you go? You don't have a phone. The guards are all watching you. And you'll probably get deported or get somebody in trouble. So you know you can't. And I think there's something that was a little oddly comforting about that existence sometimes. The fact that I didn't have to make my own decision. And that was a disturbing thought. You know, the stress of our world where we all have to be responsible for ourselves, that's not part of their world. And there were those odd little moments when I found that to be a relief of sort. And then I would realize, of course, this isn't the way to think. But I think that, you know, North Koreans, when they defect from North Korea, that is the one thing they miss, somebody taking care of you.
Hmm. Well, finally, if you come upon a group of Americans who are telling, you know, Kim Jong-un jokes, what do you say to them, or what goes through your mind?
I don't know how to criticize that without sounding patronizing in any way. Maybe I am being patronizing. I just don't find it funny. I don't know if tragedy has some sort of a time limit. You know, Nazi jokes, is that a good thing to do? Can we make jokes about Ferguson now? Can we make jokes about 9/11? I don't know what makes it okay to make jokes about a gulag nation where 25 million people are being held hostage. The funny hairdo of Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il, I don't really care. And I have no sense of humor when it comes to North Korea, as I don't about a lot of tragedy, I think, where human lives are being, great, great, great gravity against humanity is being done.
Suki Kim, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Suki Kim is the author of the new book, Without You, There Is No Us. If you want to listen back to that or anything else on the program, check us out at thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.